This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
Everybody hurts.
Coming up on TMS, I am in jeopardy.
Long time no see, no more.
Bill Gates got that through TSA?
There is not enough fish here.
Bug farts will fuel the future.
Major spoilers and Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What's happening, people? I'm Paul Stanley, and I'm back at the hotel after the show. This is the guitar I use every night. This is the one that's rocking the nation and rocking the world. The Washburn Paul Stanley model. What's it going through? A Randall Colossus amp. I designed both. They're both for you. If you want to rock, let the music do the talking. Plug in and go.
Are you turning green, or were you already green?
The Morning Stream, into daring rescue action!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS-esque.
That's how Popeye would describe our show.
You're listening to TMS.
Yeah, I don't know. Today's a little whacked. Literally, the first sentence out of my mouth is broken, so you know what to expect. I don't know why. I'm just so tired. I think I have a cold coming on, and it's early, so it feels like I'm in the middle of fighting it. And so if that happens, it's like just dragging me down. It makes you just want to lay down. Like after the show today, I'm probably just going to lay down.
Might as well. You know what? It's Veterans Day. A lot of your clients and your work stuff probably won't be happening anyway, right?
Yeah, less than usual, I guess.
Kind of a day off,
yeah,
sure.
Sort of. I mean, do you? How do you find your holiday like this one? Do you think it slows down a little bit?
Sadly, all my clients are intact today. So there are three things that need to get completed today.
Yeah.
Two of them are fairly major, but yeah, it's going to be a work day, but I'm still going to find time for Dead Cells and Recliner.
Yeah. Dead Cells and Recliner.
Combo that can't quit.
That's right. That's a great combo. Actually, it's a really good combo. There's nothing wrong with
it. It's a very good combo.
Your idea is a fine
loving one. That game. Just totally loving it.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe this is a cold, maybe it isn't, but I'm grouchy as a result and just had a weird weekend. It was a lot of busyness and stuff. Family things. We had a party over at my sister's house because we had to do Thanksgiving early because a bunch of people aren't going to be here. So we decided to have a big full-blown turkey mashed potatoes kind of event last night. And
nice.
It was good and everything, but just kind of wears you out, you know. And certain relatives were a little grumpy at this event.
That doesn't help. Yeah, I know you don't want to name names, but yeah, I know... I know what you're talking about,
yeah,
for sure.
If I name names, I'm in trouble. So
Tina's going to be doing the hosting this year for Thanksgiving, so family is all coming to our house. And then the very next day, I'm doing the cover-thon, doing what I did last year, 18 hours instead of the full 24, because at 3 a.m., nobody's doing nothing. Mm. There ain't no charity money coming in. Everybody's just sitting there watching me try and keep my eyes open. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We got to figure it out, because we'll probably do a TMS as part of that, probably do a... Film sack, as we've done in previous years, as part of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll try to fill the hours that you're not playing music with other with other content. But yeah, it is that time of year, and I feel like after BlizzCon, my goal was like I'm just gonna chill a little bit. I'm gonna do me for the holidays a little bit, and now I feel like I'm already behind the eight ball. And just is already busy, and I just don't. I don't know what I thought or expected. And I still have to put. We had to put flooring in. We got some painting to do. Like we're crazy if we thought we were gonna have like a chill holiday season.
Holiday season, yeah. No, it's not in the cards, man.
Not gonna happen. In fact, here's the weird loop I got into last night. Got home from the party. Was like a little hypered up, and I got in the mood to play Diablo 3 because for whatever reason, all the recent Diablo controversy has just driven me to want to play Diablo 3. So I fired it up on my PC. I got a little second screen over there. And on there, I decided to watch Jeopardy, the Tournament of Champions.
Nice.
Which is on Netflix, by the way. And
did you figure out, by the way, are they current episodes on Netflix besides the Tournament of Champions? Is it
all it is? So this, I did find this out. There's two quote unquote seasons. They're more like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and they're calling them collections, basically.
Okay, all right.
So they're not really seasons, but the first collection is the Tournament of Champions, which is, you know, the previous years or whatever winners, and they all come and fight each other. And right. They're mostly playoff, like semifinals and all that kind of stuff. And then they have the big final couple of games at the end. And I watched that all the way through. And then the other collection that I just started. I'm sorry. The Tournament of Champions is like two sets of full championship run. So it's almost like two seasons in itself. And then the other one is the decades thing, you know, about that one where it's like winners from the 80s come back and compete, and then the winners from the 90s have to compete, and then
so
at the end,
Ken Jennings and your Brad Rutter and
all your people. The 80s guys were all like, you know, we're talking about 85, 86, some of these guys, and you know, back when Trebek was like in his 40s and had a sweet mustache and all that. But for whatever reason, I just got in this loop where I couldn't stop running Greater Riffs in Diablo while I listened to and watched Jeopardy. Is that weird? It's a weird thing to do.
That is weird. It's great, but it's weird. Yeah.
That's freaking weird. And by the time I went to bed, now I'm dreaming this dream of, you know, when I finally get to sleep, I have dreams all night of a weird combination of the Burning Hells and Alex Trebek. Like, it's all just because he was the soundtrack.
Sorry, we were looking for demons. Turiel, you've got control of the board.
I think he is fascinating. The dude's like 78 and looks like, you know, he's under 50. He looks great, that guy.
Right. He looks amazing for under 78. Very much like my dad. Like, I imagine Alex Trebek, like you go and you have a beer with Alex Trebek. I imagine it's a lot like, this is interesting. We're getting a flower delivery.
Oh, flowers. Hey.
From Veldkamp's Flowers. What is it? It's a Veterans Day. It's November 12th. Yeah. Did I forget a thing?
I don't know. It's not your anniversary or something. It's not something like that. Are they? Is your wife home? She gonna get it?
She is. She's home. She's getting it right now. I'll have to ask her. Who's sending you flowers there? Who's your secret admirer?
What if it's like James Bond villain thing where they go shh and puts everybody to sleep?
Well,
you never know.
We'll find out. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if those come from Veldkamp's.
Right.
I think you can't say, let me get a bouquet of carnations and roses and some baby's breath. And can you throw one of those knockout packets in there?
Yeah, no kidding.
Immediately goes off.
What if it's like, you know, in the movies, the hitman always shows up with a bunch of flowers, and then the flowers drop and there's a Tommy gun underneath there. So you got to be careful of that. I mean, that was the 20s or something, so I'm not sure that's still a thing. But who knows? Maybe you forgot something, dude. Maybe
I know. I'm trying to think like anniversary. No, that's in June. Birthday. No, we're covered there. Don't know.
I think it's really funny if it was something that was really big and you totally forgot. I do that all the time.
She would have brought it up to me because we did Mystery Date last night. And,
tell me about Mystery Date. What'd you guys do?
So it was Tina's turn to take me, you know, surprise me. So we started out, we went to a ramen place. I kind of knew that was coming. She's like, you know, we were talking about dinner on Saturday night, and she's like, well, you know, think about where you might want to go for dinner Sunday night, because we have Mystery Date, but dinner will be part of it, but we don't have to go anywhere specific. I'm like, oh, well, let's go to my favorite ramen place. So there's two or three favorites that we have in town, and we went to what I would have described previously as my number three favorite. I think they've moved up to the number two slot. They're not going to surpass Osaka Ramen in the River North District, but what's this place called? Let's call it Sensei Ramen.
All right, perfect.
Know.
Nailed it.
This is my dojo. Bow. no mercy. No, it's really, really good. And it wins points because it's nice and close. I can be there in 10 minutes.
Oh.
And that's a good distance for ramen.
Yeah, that seems all right.
After that, though, I had absolutely no idea what was going on. We went to AMC Theaters, where I surprised her with South Pacific a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'll totally even go mystery all the way until we're inside the theater to where we're going on our seats. So usually, you know, you walk in to the movie theater. They say, they look at your phone and take your, scan your thing and say, oh, okay, you're seeing such and such. That's over in theater four. I said, I'm going to cover my ears in case they say what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And then as we walk into the theater, I'm going to look down at the ground like I'm a mental patient or something, mm-hmm, as we walk in, so I don't see the board that says what we're watching.
Oh, right.
She's like, oh, this is great. All right, cool. I said, I'm not going to have any idea until the lights go down. So we get into the theater, we get to our seats, and on the screen, unfortunately, they're showing Trivial Facts about the movie Die Hard, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this question is going to be about Die Hard. And then the next one comes up, and it's also about Die Hard. And it says, TCM, Turner Classic Movies, in the bottom right corner.
One of those.
It's weird. It's weird to lump Die Hard into a Turner Classic Movie thing, right?
Yeah, I don't
like
it.
It's also
like
weird
it.
To think that it's 30 years old.
Yeah, I don't either. Both of those things don't really compute for me, but sure.
No, it really doesn't. I'll believe it. It was so awesome to see that movie on the big screen again. It is just as exciting and fun to watch as it's always been.
Even the Bill Clay scene.
Even the Bill Clay, yes. Clay, Bill Clay.
Bill Clay.
Welcome to the party, pal. Come to L.A. We'll have a few laughs.
That's an awesome thing. I love this. I love this.
Tina nailed it. Like, again, just comes up with the perfect mystery date.
Yeah, good time of year, too, because, well, it's more Christmas, but still, it's like this holiday movie in a weird way, and it
totally
fits.
Is. I mean, it takes place on Christmas Eve, the, you know, Ode to Joy, and Let It Snow are played throughout the film, and they're looking for a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
They're looking for a Christmas miracle.
Miracle.
I present you the FBI.
Bring me those detonators. But the thing I like about it the most is that it used to throw me, because the idea of a Christmas Eve giant party at the company seems odd to me. I've never known anyone ever to
no
do that.
Company would say, by the way, you know that day you're probably going to want to spend with your family? We're going to have a Christmas party that night. You know why? Because we're Japanese. Yeah. Welcome to Nakatomi.
Welcome to Nakatomi Plaza. Or was it Plaza? Plaza Tower?
Nakatomi Plaza.
Plaza, where we're here to entertain you and have 15 floors that are unfinished and
it's funny because I mean you've seen it so many times and you're starting to notice other things, like you know, they do a setup, Takagi, or is it Takagi, who's the main guy that that runs Nakatomi?
I think it's
Takagi.
If
you close your eyes, he sounds like Sean Connery.
Yeah,
we do have a few floors that are unfinished, but welcome. I'll find your wife. And
yeah, it's Sean Connery trying to do a light American accent.
It's Rising Sun Sean Connery.
Yeah. That's the one. Oh, I love it. That's perfect.
But yeah, you start picking up on all these things. They do the setup really early on. Well, we're hoping to be, you know, this is our building, and we still have a few floors that are unfinished, but really hoping it goes well. And
yeah, they'll be conveniently unfinished so that the best action can take place on the floors that aren't quite finished. We will have a conference room that's totally finished so that we can shoot Takagi in the head.
Right, exactly. And, yeah. That room is really well done and leads to the vault, which is also really nicely done, but everything else is 2x4s and somebody's random computer that'll be used to make a makeshift bomb with some C4 later on in the film.
Who's the guy that plays the cop? I forget his name. The
Bill
TGI.
Johnson.
Okay. He's in this show my wife's super into, this Heart of Dixie. It's like this kind of comedy, dramedy, WB-looking thing about some Alabama town where this doctor from New York moves there, kind of fish out of water, but then, you know, fall in love with the place and lots of relationshipy stuff. It just sucks. It's not for me at all. I just hate it. I hate this show. But my wife really likes it, and that's fine. She can have her things. So she's watching the show, and in comes that guy. He's now a regular on that show, so I can't deal with it. the guy that's down there going, Al,
for his pregnant wife, or
are you still with me, Al? Or, you know, all that. He's just this guy in the town rolling around, and I'm just like, dude, you shouldn't be here. You should be trying to help Bruce Willis get out of that building alive and take down the terrorists.
He's the reason you're dealing with 8 terrorists instead of 12.
Yeah. You know what? Chat room's right. It's a lot like Doc Hollywood, except not as good.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's big town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. New York Dr. Zoe Hart, played by Rachel Bilson. Has reached a crossroads in her life when she decides to accept an offer from a stranger to work with him at his practice in Alabama.
Yep. And the guy who's the dad in Alabama, or the guy in the practice in Alabama, is another actor you'd know from a million things. And I can't place him right now, but if you'd see him, you go, "Oh, you're like you're always the principal, or you're the dean, or you're the jerk, or you're the head of the company that no one likes." Like the guy's in a trillion things.
Tim Matheson?
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm not sure.
Older. I do like that it's got Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, he's what do I call him now? Like in Friday Night Lights, he was the wheelchair guy in the first season. He looked like a high school kid then, right? In this, he looks like he's totally a 30-something kind of little puffy dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The puffy dude.
He's just a little puffy.
Yeah, Tim Matheson was, he was in Animal House. He was the, I guess he was more the womanizer. He wasn't the leader of the Tridels, but he was it Delta, Delta, Delta,
Tim
Delta?
No. Matheson.
Am I making that right?
Yeah, hold on.
Was it Delta, Delta, Delta? Delta Tau Chi.
Chi. Oh, yeah, you're right. Chi. That's the guy.
Chi.
Chi. Chi. Yeah, Chi T.
Centering their Chi in Delta Tau.
Nailed
anyway,
it.
Delta Tau Chi.
And he's always a dad and everything. Let's see.
Yeah, Tim Matheson, yes, totally.
Let me see the thing he's most known for if I click on this thing here. Okay, he's 70 years old. He looks great for 70.
He does, yeah.
What's going on with these guys? Hey, IMDb, why are you so slow? What's the deal here? What's going on with this? Okay, here we go.
Because everyone in the chat room is going there now.
He was on West Wing. He played the vice president. That's why I know him the most. He was the VP for the first couple seasons.
Oh, that explains. People in the chat room were saying he was the original VP, and I don't know. I didn't know what that was a reference to.
Yep, they're totally right. He's in all sorts of stuff. Anyway, that guy's in it. So a bunch of weird people are like, oh, I know these people from things. And then all the young, pretty people you don't know.
Yes,
are
right.
All over the show.
Caitlin Black. And Cress Williams and McKaylee Miller.
Blech.
Yeah, there isn't a funny looking woman.
Whoa. Did you guys hear that? Brian took a dive there. You still there? You there? Oh gosh. Hold on. We got something going on here, folks. Let's see if we can gosh. Okay, we're gonna hang up on him. And we're going to try that again. I don't know what happened there.
Because you were noticing some slowdown on IMDb first.
Yeah, it could have been. It might have been me. Although I didn't lose any frames. Usually I'll lose frames if that happens. But
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't know what that was. I blame Discord. Anyway, so there you go. It's a dumb show. But what was my point?
Heart of Dixie.
Heart of Dixie. It's stupid. But my wife
Reginald Vell Johnson from... Die Hard.
Die
buying
Hard.
Some Twinkies for his wife.
Oh, there you go. All this stuff's making sense now. Hey,
right.
Also, I think maybe playing Diablo and listening to Jeopardy all night may have inspired the weird Mario art I've been doing lately. So,
yes, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your naked Mario is great and disturbing.
Well, just for reference, I'm sending you the latest in Discord so you can see all three of the set. There's only three. That's all I'm doing.
But, man.
You got your naked Mario. Here, let me zoom in chat so you can see. Whoops. That's not what I wanted. Where'd it go?
Okay, wow.
Let's try that again.
The Yoshi is the most disturbing one of the bunch.
It's the most Yoshi of the mosty. Okay, so if you go to
like
Yoshi.
The farmer tan, though.
It doesn't actually make sense, though, because his feet shouldn't be tan. But yet I made them tan. It doesn't make any
sense.
Right,
like he's running around barefoot.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. But there's Yoshi giving, you never think about this part, do you?
Right. Yoshi does have to poop out eggs.
Yeah, it happens constantly in the game. You just don't ever get this view. So that was the thing I did. And then finally we have what looks to be Luigi fleeing some sort of sex dungeon. again, I don't really have a good explanation for any of this, but I think...
Right.
What
would Luigi's safe word be?
Mario! No, I don't know what it would be. It would have to be...
It would come
be?
With the death stares, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Woo-hee!
It's just a silent death star from his car. You know that's when he's in trouble.
That's right.
Anyway, my daughter... So it's so funny. My daughter saw all of these, and she says, "Dad, you know what my number one problem with all of this is?" She doesn't like any of these. She goes, "My problem is... the armpit hair on both Luigi and Mario." She doesn't like
that. Yeah, it's pretty,
it is
severe. It's like,
it's severe.
Like he's one of the Baldwin brothers or something.
Yeah, like it's freaking Ron Jeremy or something in that Mario show.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But anyway, I don't know what inspired all that. I just want people to know that I don't feel like I had my full faculties while I did it. So
should we all be glad that you haven't done a Princess Peach or a Toad?
Yeah, probably, because I thought about it. I did consider the Toad thing for a while, and then I changed my mind. I wouldn't have gone too crazy. The idea is just to be slightly disturbing, not grossly
not
overly disturbing.
Not like, oh, but just like, oh.
He was like, oh, I don't think I'm comfortable with this. Like that. That's what I was aiming for, and I think I got it with those three. Nice. So anyway, our long national nightmare is over. Also, a shout-out to Silas.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to see this for very obvious reasons once I tell you this, but that hideous wildfire that is like the worst in California history that broke out and destroyed thousands of homes and displaced thousands of people.
Yeah,
the Paradise Fire. They call it the Camp Fire, but I don't know why they call it that.
The North one, I think, is the Camp Fire. The one up in Northern California is the Camp Fire. This is the... Oh, what is the one in the South called? They have a couple.
Oh, I thought this was the same.
He is actually in the chat room, by the way.
Oh, is he in the chat?
Yeah.
Is this the one... Which fire is it, Silas?
The one in Paradise, the Southern California.
Oh, he says Camp Fire.
Ventura. Oh, is it? Okay, it is the Camp Fire.
So the Woosley Fire, which is the Camp Fire one, right? I don't have those mixed up.
No, I thought... That's why I thought there were two of them. I thought there was the Woolsey and the Camp were the two different fires going on.
All right. So Paradise is the campfire. Anyway, lost his house. His relatives lost their house. We're not the first people I've heard from in the Tadpole who have had similar stuff happen, but this one hits very close to home. We always see Silas in the chat room.
It is Silas. Okay.
Silas. We feel terrible for you, man. Like, that's awful. Like, what an awful freaking thing. And
his family is safe. I can't even imagine this.
I can't
get time
it.
To grab necessities and things from home. But yeah, he's been thinking a lot about all the things that he lost in the fire that can't be replaced. And
it's just awful. I can't even imagine what this is like. Yeah. Just have your life upended that way. So anyway, we're thinking about you and pulling for you there. And hopefully stuff gets good. We sent a big contingent of Utah firefighters just left to California to try to help. I know a lot of other states are doing that as well. I think it's great to actually see surrounding states and the region in general responding in such a positive way to do all they can to come out there and help what is otherwise a horrible situation. I kind of just wish we had a chief executive officer in our government who wasn't a dick about it. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's not figure out, let's not blame...
There's nothing to even blame. He blamed forest fire management on a thing that has nothing to do with forests.
Right,
oh my gosh,
exactly.
Dude. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, so here we go. So yeah, I'm looking at a map now. So the Camp Fire is the north one. But Paradise, I was thinking, was closer to L.A. The Hill Fire and the Woolsey Fire are the ones down in L.A. The Camp Fire is the one up north near Chico and Paradise. And
I thought Woolsey was the Paradise Fire. That's where
Woolsey's one by Thousand Oaks and Ventura County, Malibu.
See, that also sucks. That there's so many now that we can't even keep them straight.
My aunt and uncle had to evacuate. I think they're still fine. They're in Simi Valley, but it's horrendous.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just bad. It's the worst year on record, and this is the worst fire they've ever had, or the most destructive fire they've ever had is the one up north. But regardless, like. Just sorry, you guys. I don't even know what to say to you. It just sounds like a rotten deal. And, nature is a tough cookie for sure.
Yeah. So we're thinking about you, Silas. And if there's anybody else out there who's having to deal with this, we're thinking about you too. And hope you guys are getting through this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, now let's have some fun. And if Silas is here, hey, we'll have some fun with Silas. How about that?
Yes, for sure.
Let's call Brian Ibbett. Dunaway, I mean. We already have Ibbett. Ibbett is here. He's not going anywhere.
I'm here.
We're going to call Dunaway, and we're going to make him do some things that he's not necessarily expecting. That's not true. He's expecting this entirely. He knows what he's doing. He'll be fine. Oh, I even hear him wrestling around with the thing.
Yes. So wow. He had to pull his phone out of an old shoe that he keeps on his desk.
An old shoe.
That's not a shoe.
No, it's also not a... Oh, even worse. All right, here you go. All right, we're going to play a little game called Babel Royale. It's when somebody calls into the show and plays a little game with us, and they do that every Wednesday and Monday. Today's Monday, and Brian Dunaway is here with us. Hi, Brian Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Dunaway.
How are you?
Yeah, you guys again.
Yeah, jeez. It's us. It's us, for sure. Hey,
I'm excited. I'm glad to hear you guys. I miss you.
Well, we talked on Saturday. What did we do Saturday? What was film
Saturday?
We didn't
talk as much.
We talked about Young Guns.
Oh, yeah, Young Guns.
Tommy.
Yeah.
We didn't talk as much as yell at each other. I mean, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, we're done yelling about Young Guns. No, Young Guns is an interesting entry in the Film Sack pantheon because I feel like it opened up a lot of discussion about what, you know, when do you have, like, the idea that the Brat Pack existed. We don't really have anything like that now, and maybe since. I can't think
Didn't
of a...
We had the Frat Pack for a while, which was like
Frat,
Vince
exactly.
Vaughn, the Owen Wilson, the Luke Wilson...
Are they called the what are they? What'd you
call them? They were called the Frat Pack. Will
Ferrell. I think you're right.
I don't remember this.
And then there was the Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard. I don't know if they ever gave them a pack name, but they were, you know, they had their little
the Scrat game. Pack.
They were
so here we go. Frat Pack is Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, Will Ferrell, and Vince Vaughn.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right. Will Ferrell's in that.
Will Ferrell's in that. Because, I mean, you think about, like, old school and...
yeah, but they were all old when they did that.
And old school.
How come John C. Reilly should be a member of the Frat Pack, shouldn't he? Like, I would think.
I'd put him in there. He's always with those guys.
But he was kind of, like, hanging on to Will Ferrell, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that kind of thing? Wasn't he, like, an older kind of guy?
Isn't he still hanging on to Will Ferrell?
Well, I think...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think Will Ferrell's older than him. He's older than him, isn't he? Will Ferrell's older than all those guys, I think.
I don't think he's older than John C. Reilly.
Really? I think John C. Reilly just looks old.
All right. How old do you think John C. Reilly is?
Well, right now I'll just say, I'll just give you a number and then I'll tell you how much younger I think he is than Will Ferrell. So I'll say John C. Reilly is 50. Will Ferrell is 52.
You're very close on Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's 51. John C. Reilly is 53.
Oh, he's older. Gosh dang it.
He's older. Yeah.
All right. Stepbrothers. I should have known. Let's see who we have on the line. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Heather.
Well, hello, Heather. It's nice to have you here. Where are you calling from?
From near Ashley in Ohio.
Oh, very nice. Ohio. I had so much fun up there. Had a great time up there. Hey, welcome to the show. We're going to play a little game with you. Brian Ibbett will explain how it works and how you could win.
That's right. And I'm so glad Heather does not sound like a robot. Hey, I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job, Heather. One job. You've got one job. Well, you really got two. Is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you're playing for a 3-pack of Steam code, Scribblenauts Unlimited. I almost said it was Scribblenauts United. Mm. That'll be the next one. Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. That's a great game. And because those games are so good, we're going to top it off with American Truck Simulator, because who doesn't like to simulate the experience of driving an American truck?
A lot of people love those games. They are into those. Oh, yeah. Those are very popular. Ridiculously over the top popular. Yeah. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. You know what I actually think it is? I think it's the same reason people like to do space trucking games where you're like, delivering ore across the universe and stuff.
That's true. You know what? That's a good point. That is
it's a similar hook.
Are you telling
hook.
Me you guys wouldn't like just love a day where you could drive a real big rig? You're telling me you wouldn't
I would absolutely
love
doing
that?
Yeah, I do.
But would
day.
I like to play a video game where I drive a big rig? Not so much.
I don't know.
No one in their right mind is going to let you guys drive big rigs. So
those are hugely popular. The Euro Truck Simulator and the U.S. one are gigantic hit, so somebody out there wants
to. Do you get to drive across Alaska in that like ice truckers kind of?
I don't know. Probably, yeah. I'll bet you do. I think they kind of do all the big routes, as far as I know.
I do have this in my library and acquired it recently myself. I have not played it, so it's a good question.
It's worth playing.
I will boop it.
Yes, I think that we'll see.
Boop it.
Hopefully, Heather will try it and she can give us the true meaning of Christmas. But Brian,
well, in order for Heather to try it, she needs to first predict who's going to win. And your topic today. So a couple weeks ago, Jonah Hill was on Saturday Night Live, and it was his fifth time hosting Saturday Night Live. So he joined the Five Timers Club. I want you guys to name the other members, the other 19 members of the Five Timers Club, people who have hosted Saturday Night Live five or more times.
Oh, five or more. I can do that. All right.
Five or more times.
I thought it was like exactly five. Okay. Okay.
Oh, good Lord. No.
Yeah,
no. As a matter of fact, I think only four of these people, no, six of these people have only hosted five times. So really, once you become a five timer, they pretty much keep calling you back.
Yeah.
Heather, no, knowing that that's the topic, who do you think is going to come out on top?
Normally, I'm Team Dunaway, but I'm going to go with Scott with this one.
Yeah. Okay. I think I take that as a compliment.
And who would you like to begin?
Let's go with Scott.
Okay.
All right. By the way, this one comes to us from Ryan from Michigan. Thank you, Ryan. I loved this one. I think I'd kill it this one, but I don't know how much Scott and Brian watch the show, so I'm excited to see how they do.
It's been a while, but I have a good idea of regular hosts, I think.
All right. Well, Scott, you are beginning. Who are you picking first?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken? Mm-hmm. He's hosted the show seven times.
Yeah. I knew it had to be at least five.
Right, yep. Right.
All right. Dunaway?
Yeah. I saw the skit, so Tina Fey was there.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Tina Fey, she's also hosted six times, but has appeared as a special guest twice. Of course, probably appearing as Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Nah.
She's done some.
That's when they bring you on for a special guest.
Yeah.
That's right.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, he is, I think, number one on the list. He's been the host 17 times.
Jeez. Hmm.
And then 26 additional appearances as special guest. Here's the deal. I think it's because he lives in New York, and if somebody backs out last minute,
yep,
he can always come in.
Yep.
Unless, you know, he's arrested for something.
Sure.
Oh, it's nice.
Nice.
Yeah, like okay. He has been recently.
All right, Dunaway, let's take that. Match that.
Also in the skit was Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, six times as host, three times as special guest. Very good.
Right.
Now we're getting into tricky territory.
Yes. Nitty gritty.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, very good. Very good one. 15 times he's hosted. 11
wow.
times additionally as a special guest. So Steve Martin right up there with Alec Baldwin.
All right.
Right.
I think he also lives in New York.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And Jonah Hill is excluded from this, right? Because he
Jonah
just
Hill is
entered
excluded also because I and also because I used that as the segue into this game, yes.
Right. Candace Bergman.
Bergman.
Did I say Bergman?
You said Bergman.
Bergman.
Wait a minute. You're going to allow it? Oh.
I'm allowing it. Come on, because it's not
Bergman.
Yeah, it's Candace Bergen. Five times as host, and she was in that same skit with Jonah Hill and Drew Barrymore.
I have not seen this skit, so it puts me at a disadvantage.
Well, guess what? You've already named all the people who are in that skit.
Yeah, I was going to say, the skit, yeah. Do I get extra points?
Oh, is that the whole skit? Okay.
That's the whole skit.
No, you
know. There was one other person in there, but he's never left the show long enough to be a guest.
That's right, exactly.
I'm going to say, I think Justin Timberlake, maybe?
Justin Timberlake. Five times he's hosted. One time he was the musical guest with NSYNC, and then eight times as special guest. Yeah, only five times.
Okay.
Come on down to Timberlake Town.
I love when he dresses up in the little fits and dresses around. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love it. I know Tom Hanks has been there plenty of times.
Tom Hanks has absolutely done it a bunch of times. One of my favorite skits of his is the Mr. No Short-Term Memory guy. And anyway, nine times as host, seven times as special guest.
Okay.
Very good.
I don't know how long it's been. I want to say I've seen a lot of John Goodman.
You have definitely seen a lot of John Goodman. 12 times he's hosted the show and then appeared nine more times as special guest. He was... who was the... the person recently that he's been appearing as, De Niro's been appearing as Mueller.
Right.
But I can't remember who John Goodman was appearing as. He was also the lawyer, that lawyer woman. Oh, John Flora, 1968, says John Goodman's 13 times. I have 12 on my list as of October 17th, so it might be. Yeah, Linda Tripp.
That's Linda Tripp. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right, Linda Tripp.
I actually feel bad for her. I listened to this interview with her recently, and she was maligned.
Really ripped on her looks, yeah. Yeah.
It's all right.
All right. Scott got John Goodman. Brian, what have you got?
How about Jack Black?
Jack?
He's been on there plenty of times.
Black. Has he?
Well, has he? Yeah. Has he?
Plenty of times.
Has he been, you think?
I'm not so confident now.
Well,
but
that's
yeah.
his answer.
That's his answer. I'm double checking this because he is not on my list. I'm going to double check. 4 times, 3 as host, 1 as musical guest with Tenacious D. That does not make him a host.
Yes!
So, Scott wins.
I win! That's awesome. How many more people are on that list? Because I'm out. I have no...
Yeah, would you have had another guest?
I might have said Melissa McCarthy, but I may be thinking
Melissa McCarthy would have been a great guest. She hosted 5 times. She even did a song for her 4th time where she thought it was her 5th time. Buck Henry, Chevy Chase... Danny DeVito, Elliot Gould, Sting, 6 times as host and musical guest, like he uses the combo, Melissa McCarthy, who you just said, Bill Murray, Ben Affleck, Scarlett Johansson, and Dwayne Johnson.
Wow. Oh, The Rock? What?
The Rock has hosted 5 times.
Oh, yeah. I would have never guessed The Rock. I know he's hosted. I just didn't think it was 5 times. That's crazy to me. All right. Well, that was a nail biter, dude. You know what this means? This means... that Heather, you picked you backed the right horse. Yeah, nice job.
Woo-hoo.
Well done. So here's I should play this for you because it's tradition.
Congratulations.
There you go.
You're a winner.
All you got to do to collect your winnings is send an email to Brian over there at coverville@gmail.com. He'll get you the codes and get you all hooked up and send you on your way with fabulous prizes. And congratulations and well done.
Yeah. Well done.
Well, thanks.
You bet. Nice to talk to you. I like Heather.
You know what's
nice.
Funny is in a lot of the sketches for the Five Timers Club, Paul Simon appears.
Yeah.
He's only hosted the show 4 times, but he's appeared 8 times as a musical guest and 5 times as a special guest. But they're calling him a member of the Five Timers Club, even though he hasn't hosted 5 times.
Hey, Dunaway, here's a fun little trivia for you. Since you lost today, here's a little chance for you to win back some of your credibility. Are you ready? Here you go.
All right, good. Thanks for rubbing.
How many SNL regulars, or no, let's not say how many. Name a SNL regular who appeared specifically in his, that song from his like African-inspired album with the, call me Betty, you can call me Al. Who famously is in that video who was also a regular SNL cast member?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going through the video in my head, and I'm like, was Chevy Chase?
You got it. Nailed it. Right. Congratulations. Yeah. You win nothing. Hold on. Let's see. You win. You can win this. Here you go. There you go. You win a little ding-dong sound.
Oh, you
sound.
Win a ding. Well done.
You've done it. Here's what else. Everyone else listening will win more, and they'll do that by tuning in today at 3:30 Mountain Time for The Boop Show with me and Brian Dunaway, where we talk about video games at length. And likely much less intensely about things like Diablo Immortal. So a little more lighthearted business today at 3:30 right here at frogpants.tv. Brian Dunaway, everybody. Take it easy. Kiss my butt.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Bye. All right.
Well done.
It's a good time right there. Good times. Now, join us for this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, hey, it's the news brought to you by...
Scott, we should talk about Dan's cool charity.
We should. Well, here's the deal. So he talked about it a little bit on Friday with us.
Is this Dan Patrice?
Dan Patrice, yeah. Dan okay, the tabletop cool. man.
Yep.
And he just wanted to make sure to let us know that his fundraiser that he ran went really well over the weekend, but they're still taking donations. They've raised $15,000 this year. Between the event day and online donations combined. Their 8-year total is now $130,000. They'll still take stuff if people are interested in backing this cause. If you go to firstgiving.com/fundraiser/gamersforcures/2018 is the web URL. It's kind of long, but we'll put it out on the Twitter account as well. So you can get that. But go check it out. It's a really good cause, and Dan did a great job with it, and his daughter suffers from the disease they're working toward curing, I can't remember the name of it. I'm going to go look at it. It's called... Okay. Oh, I know you use cookies. That's fine. Website. Here we go. This is for... Oh, my brain. Poor game. I can't find it. Turner Syndrome. That's it.
Turner Syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And really good people donating money for that. If that's something you have some passion about, go check that out and help Dan out if you would. All right. Well, there's that then.
Yeah.
Brian?
Yes, sir.
Here's the news. How about this one? Long time no see. You know the old phrase, long time no see?
I do. I'm very familiar with that phrase, yes.
So if I hadn't seen you for about a year, I'd go, hey, Brian, long time no see. Right?
Sure. It's like it's the human equivalent of first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're at Colorado State University, CSU.
Oh, yes. It's just up there, up the road in Fart Collins.
Fart Collins. bad news. It's now considered offensive, non-inclusive language at that university.
Oh, to blind people.
Mm.
No, well, I don't know why it would be offensive. I can't wait to find out.
Well, let's find out. It could be. This one I've left as a surprise to myself because I actually don't know why they're upset. Right. But anyway, at Colorado State University, our CSU administrators have designated the common greeting long time no see as non-inclusive language. That, according to a student, Katrina Leiby, who writes for the campus newspaper, the Rocky Mountain Collegian, Leiby met with Zahar Al-Saloum, director of diversity and inclusion at CSU, who showed her a list of terms and phrases considered contrary to the university's mission of fostering inclusion. Quote, one of these phrases is long time no see, which is viewed as derogatory toward those of Asian descent. Not just blind Asians.
Really?
Asians of all types.
Because it's like people are assuming that it comes from a long time and no see kind of thing.
I think you're right.
Chinese secret. Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I think you're right.
This is dumb, but okay.
It says she also noted administrators discouraging of you guys in favor of y'all, which is gender neutral and ungrammatical.
Well, what, that's, you know, you're forcing a southern
stereotype.
Idiom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree. You're also, I call my wife dude. What are they going to do about me? You guys going to come after me?
Oh, my goodness.
Me?
I say you people. You a-holes. Hey, what are you a-holes doing
yeah,
for
what are
lunch?
You what are you a-holes doing for lunch? Let's go. It has been a very long... It has been quite a long time since I have seen you. That's what you'll say now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, her column does not claim that administrators force students to use gender-neutral terminology, just such terminology is preferred. She did not respond to a request for comment. The college's the college fixes Jennifer Cabani sees this as an example of campus political correctness run amok, and I'm having a hard time disagreeing. I can't imagine anyone reading racial subtext into long time no see unless they have already been instructed to look at it. I think I agree with that. This is a dumb one, guys. This is a dumb one.
It really is. Yeah.
I understand somebody going, you know, we probably shouldn't call each other the FAG word just for laughs like we did in the 80s. It's probably not good. I get that one.
That one makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. I get the derogatory nature. I get all that. I don't understand long time no see.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is long time.
I used it, but I wouldn't have a problem. Like if ran into Bo at BlizzCon, I could have easily said, "Hey, Bo, long time no see,"
and he would not have been offended.
And he'd be like, "Oh my God, with the Asian slurs! How dare you? This is America!"
But like long time, yeah, it's our waiter, America. But like the whole, it's supposed to be long time, comma no see. It isn't long time no see. It's not like a sentence. It's long time no see. I haven't seen you for a long time. It's a shortening. It's a fun little. Right. Flourish on the language. That's all that is. Y'all need to knock that off. I understand if it's derogatory. So this isn't derogatory. How is this derogatory to anybody?
It's not derogatory. Those little gnats that you get bitten by in the islands when you go like on a cruise or go out to the beach are called no-see-ums. Is that the similar Asian slur?
Oh,
because I always thought
ideas.
It was no-see-ums because you can't see them, and that seems like a great name.
Yeah,
no-see-um.
I don't know, man. You want to? Oh, see. Major Spoilers just posted something. Let's see what we got. Late breaking info here.
Okay.
From long time no see to bugger, these overused expressions have racist origins. Okay, let's see what this says. This is according to news.com.au. Mm. That's Australia.
Yeah.
let's see.
Bugger.
sounds like you're accurate. Day-to-day scenario. In all seriousness, there's a ton of colloquial words and phrases with surprisingly sinister origins. Here's a quick breakdown. Here we go. It's been a while since I last... What? Oh, long time no see. Origin. In the early 1900s, this phrase was used to mock immigrants who spoke English as a second language. In particular, it was used as a way to mock the Chinese language, given the words, given that the words are derived from the Chinese pidgin English, according to stuff. Let's see. In accordance with language sentence structure. No can do, they say, is a similar thing. They also have gypped here, which we've talked about. Bugger, which is... Yeah, it's Bulgarian for doing
it. No can do. That's another one that surprises me. Like, it says it's also Chinese pidgin English.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Hall & Oates. You're going to have to change the lyrics to I Can't Go For That.
I can't go for that.
I can't go for that. No, I'm not able to do that.
I'm not able to do that. But see, this is where I would actually argue. Okay, so you've given us some examples of, like, old stuff, right? And
yeah.
I get it. That maybe some of the origins are a little suspect, but here's what I would say. We've stripped them of any of that meaning, and I don't think anyone who says long time no see even knows that or has any inkling of the idea that this would have come from there. So I feel like isn't it better that we have it stripped of its negativity and use it
exactly.
Despite its negativity? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
And I'd really, you know, this... If you really were to analyze a lot of our origins of language, who knows how many other things that are completely innocuous that we use on a regular daily basis had origins in slavery or origins in the way we treated immigrants and things like that.
Yeah.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know, is on this list.
Oh, is
and
it?
It's because of, yeah, because the form of that poem uses the N-word.
Oh, does it? It's not catch a tiger by the toe? Really?
No, it's different. They use the N-word there. But that's not... I don't know. See, again, it's like...
I didn't know that.
You know, kids using that? Whatever. It's like, oh, who's going to get the last Twizzler? All right, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Hey, that's racist!
Yeah. There's another one. Mumbo Jumbo's on here. It says, generic term for confusing and meaningless language. Origins, historians, and etymologists often trace this back to the Mandinke word, mambo jambo, or mambo mama jambu, which refers to a masked male dancer who would take part in religious ceremonies. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, mambo jambo is a noun, is the name of a grotesque idol said to have been worshipped by some tribes. In its figurative sense, mumbo-jumbo is an object of senseless veneration of meaningless ritual. Well, that doesn't... How's that offensive? That's just antique. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think we try to do this stuff too hard. When somebody says to me, that's a lot of mumbo-jumbo or long time no see, guess what? I don't assume that they're being racist turds.
Right.
Of course exactly. They're not. So we got to just be... just tread a little... I'm all about, like... Be considerate, be kind, be thoughtful, be all those things. Try to change the way you think, all of that stuff. You've heard the show before. You already know this about me and Brian. But I'm just saying, at some point, you got to... I'm tiptoeing around words that have zero meaning to me. And then you're like, well, if you're offended by it, well, then tell me how. But if you're just offended because you think you should be because you found out in the 1700s some lady said something, it's not enough, man.
And I think we need to separate... like you're saying, intent from the words themselves. The words themselves have no power. They have no meaning. It's like George Carlin, the 7 words you can't say on television. Just because that phrase is, or that word is associated with negative connotation, if you use it with the intent of hurting someone, if you use it like a knife to stab someone, then it's offensive. If you're using it in innocuous context, I'd say... Unless it's a word that was only ever used for racism.
Right.
You know, I'm certainly not trying to say, you know, we should be able to say the N-word as long as we don't mean it. Yeah. But no, that word has only ever been racist. The term that the Brits use for a cigarette that we brought up, the F-word earlier, is
the other
has always been offensive.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think you just...
Because a word has origins, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. It's like I can't say... What's a good one?
I mean, I wouldn't use the phrase, you know, if somebody took something back, I wouldn't use the phrase Indian giver, yeah. Right? Because I know that, all right, well, that's, you know, that it's, you know, I guess I'm contradicting myself, because that is something that we all grew up with, innocuous, sitting on the floor Indian style or whatever. And it did come from racist origins, even though we didn't know about it. We wouldn't use those.
Yeah, I remember a nursery time, like, elementary school era song about Native Americans, yeah, when I was a kid, and it was like a lot of hey, yeah, 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 and putting your arms together and all that. And I think about it now and I'm like, well, yeah, that's pretty lame. Like, that's just you making a cartoon out of an entire people. And I think you can come to those conclusions on your own. You don't need some school to tell you. But yeah, when it comes to stuff like long time no see, come on, man, really?
Yeah,
I mean, now that they've applied the meaning to it, it's all I can think of.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
Oh, it has been a long time since I have seen you.
Yes. How long has it been since I last saw you?
Essential Tremor in the chat room is right, too. These phrases have generations of hateful history behind them. Everything from simple offense to dehumanization to flat-out murder. You know what? It's if somebody is offended by that, I
long time I no totally see has that? That. Doesn't have like a long. It doesn't have that. No, we just found out about it today.
Making fun of a language issue, but yeah.
But we just found out.
Oh, I know. No, I'm saying, like, if someone were to come to me and say, actually, that phrase kind of offends me because, you know, my grandfather was Asian. He used to always say that, and he got made fun of, and people would imitate him doing that. I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I won't say that around you, and I'll probably be more aware of not saying that around. We're just not saying that and figuring out a different way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if they did, but see, this is, you actually just boiled it down. This is exactly my point across the board with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal exchange between you and another person.
Mm-hmm.
They express a problem and you responded, and you would respond in the way that anybody who's nice and has relationships would. You'd say, oh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. I wouldn't do that intentionally. And they know you're not doing it intentionally. But they feel comfortable enough to tell you, and you feel comfortable enough to say you're sorry, and you move on with your day. I have no problem with that. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero problem with that. In fact, I am all for that. That's human. That's personal. That's relationships. That's flesh on flesh business, right? Like, that's what we do. Right. What I don't like is the internet spending their entire day telling each other what to think. That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Because that's not the relationship. It's not the relationship. I mean, I understand, like, someone in the chat room goes, oh, it's, what do you say? I can't find it now. Oh, no, where'd it go? Boy, you guys are chatting a lot today. I can't find it now, but it was a good comment. I can't find it.
Do we get to a point, though, where our language and the way we communicate gets so sanitized that, you know, let's say we find out that 60% of our speech of things that we say on a regular basis, comes from racist origins or, you know, offensive backgrounds. It scares me that we're going to get to that point.
We're already there. Here's the other thing, too. When you say to somebody, you know, you say to somebody, well, I'm sorry that learning about history sucks, but you should be aware. I'm sorry about bringing awareness to the subject or whatever. What you're doing is you're placing intent on somebody, and that's where I start having a problem.
Sure.
And I know that's hard to do. It doesn't even almost matter. If somebody publicly says, oh, you really shouldn't say that, your reaction's always going to be, well, don't tell me what I shouldn't say. Who are you to tell me? What are you, perfect Joe, smart man over there who can tell me what to do? Like, it's just a complicated mess that's missing the personal connection. And it's the personal connection that matters. So my current mode of operation these days is keep it personal, keep it with the people you care about that care about you. And everyone else, just whatever, take a back seat. It's not as important. Sorry. It just isn't. Like, I just don't know you very well.
Yeah.
If I knew you better, we could have a more meaningful conversation about things that offend you, delight you, whatever. But we can't do it through this big, thick sheet of internet anonymity where we don't know anything about each other's lives. It's just not possible. So if Brian tells me, oh, don't say that, it offends me, I'm going to take that more, I'll take that more seriously than some stranger telling me that.
Exactly.
And the strangers don't understand that they don't get to just stand on a freaking thing and tell everybody how to think or believe and think that it's weird that they react poorly to that. Of course they do. You're you're walking in going, hey, I don't like the thing you're doing. You don't know me at all and you have no idea where I'm coming from, but don't do it. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody reacts to that nicely.
I just know that I'm all, only going to refer to them as saltines from now on.
Crackers?
Not crackers.
Okay, yeah. Good. When next time you call me a cracker, Brian, I would prefer if you'd call me a...
saltine.
Yeah, a Toll House
Buttercrisp.
Hey,
my saltine, how are you?
Hey, what up, my saltine? I like saltines. Is that weird?
I do, too. No, that's...
I could eat. I could eat. I could wreck like a
whole. I know.
We
talked about your saltines and ragu.
I got a bunch of support emails about that. People are like, "Oh, I love that
yeah,
too."
I've also seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, "Yeah, that's gross."
Yeah. And what?
Confirmation bias. You'll always find the emails that say, "That's awesome. You should totally eat that."
Okay, Jake Calhoun's playing a little game here. He says, "No one has ever told me to my face that I am wrong to say the N-word is wrong. So can I keep saying it?" Yes. It's obvious, though. See, it's we all go. This is the other problem. When this stuff comes up in public venues, people start going,
"Yes."
So what if you? No, I'm saying yes. It's offensive. But my point is,
he asked if he could keep saying it. We're not saying yes.
No, he says no one's ever told me. Oh, I see. I read his question a little bit wrong.
So can I keep saying it?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, no, I don't mean you should keep saying it. You shouldn't say it at all. But if you do, also, all right. I mean,
there are degrees of this, and it's.
I can't stop you from doing whatever you're going to do in your life, but I prefer it. I mean, I'm not going to hang around you very much if you do. Right. I don't like that word. That word makes me angry. Anyway, so there you go.
Anyway.
You hear it? I keep saying the N-word. No, you don't. Quit saying it, Jay Calhoun. Unless you mean the N in your name. All right. Well, there's that. That's a fun first story that took us all the way to 10. We're going to take a break. We're going to do all this other news tomorrow. When we come back, major spoilers, Trek Nerd, all that business. So stick around. But, Brian, I can't go till I have a song.
That's right. Indie in the Middle Time. This one comes to us from the Vermilion Parish. That is in Louisiana. This is a trio that was releasing their debut album. 12 songs on this brand new album, and they're all rockers. Totally get a, boy, you're going to hear a Stone Temple Pilots, Nirvana, Pearl Jam influence on this 100%. I love this. The brand new album is called Faceless. Why am I hearing? Oh, wow. It auto-played the stuff that Shadow just put into the chat room.
That's weird. All right.
Open beta thing.
Good stuff.
Thank you for that. I'm like hearing music in my ear. I'm like, oh, don't start playing the song. Yeah. The brand new album is called Faceless. The band is called Mankind's Remedy. Here's the song. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Here it is. We'll be right back.
The sun is out, but the sky is black, and I don't know forever.
Hey, you guys, we got to talk about Blue Chew. Let's talk about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were all ready to go? Remember that? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they know they work, or you know they work. They all know they work. We all know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That, again, is BlueChew, BlueChew.com/.com. That's it. That's all. And then use the promo code to try it out for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for helping us out today.
Haunted by mildew stains and soap scum, terminate them with Tilex Instant Mildew Stain Remover. Spray Tilex on mildew stains and they vanish with no scrubbing. Spray Tilex on soap scum, then wipe it out of existence. Terminate mildew stains and soap scum with Tilex.
Certainly no religious sex magic rituals.
The Morning Stream. I'll take you to Atlanta and you'll give me the cure.
And we're back, everybody.
Still lots of discussion. Everybody's still talking about language in the chat room, so nobody talked about that song and said, wow, these guys do sound like Stone Temple Pilots or Pearl Jam or
yeah, you usually get something. You get something out of them usually, but not today. Yep. Nope. Today was all about language and what offends me, which is
exactly
fine.
And you know what, people are bringing up great points, and
some are.
I think we've kind of learned a lot. Yeah. Some people are bringing up great points. Other people are maybe stirring the pot or pushing some buttons that they shouldn't be pushing.
Yeah. Stirring the pot's fun. I get it. I understand stirring the pot can be fun. It's a good time. Stir pot. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, look it up. Look it up, everybody. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Let's play this instead.
Steven.
On the line with us right now is the one, the only, Steven Schleicher of MajorSpoilers.com fame. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Hello, Steven.
How do you feel about offensive language?
You know, if someone points out to me that's like, hey, you know, that's an offensive word or term, I try to not use it anymore.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
I'm against that. I just know there are a lot of voices online that are just trying to ruffle everyone's feathers.
That is a great way to boil it down. That actually really boils it down well into one sentence.
Yeah, I don't want
to. If you find out something's offensive, try to stop using it. Yeah, great, I like that. Great. That's exactly.
Yeah, show some sorrow. Be apologetic. Then do your best to improve yourself.
People are now taking offense. All the witches in the audience are taking offense to the term stirring the pot.
Oh, great. And the chefs. All the chefs are mad.
That's right.
Stirring that pot. Yesterday, I had to make mashed potatoes for the thing last night. Mm-hmm. My arm still hurts. I forgot what it's like to mash potatoes manually. It freaking hurts.
Yeah.
Get this little tendon going here. Got a little something on the side here. Freaking hurts. Anyways,
immersion blender.
That's what I need. Hey, speaking of sous vide things, weird. I don't know why. This is not a good transition.
It's not at all.
Steven is here from MajorSpoilers.com. We have stuff to talk about today, as we often do. For example, tell me about Disney Plus. Is that the final name? Is that what we're getting?
Yeah, that is the final name for the streaming service that Disney is launching next year. They've launched their placeholder site, very much like what DC Universe did not too long ago. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, if you go to the site, you will see the properties that are going there. Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic, which the last I checked was part of 20th Century Fox still. So they are definitely assuming that this deal is going to go through. We don't know anything about price yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what else will be coming over after the deal has signed. You know, there's word on the street that Disney may be interested in buying the other 40% of Hulu that it doesn't own, and maybe incorporating bits and parts of that into their streaming service as well.
Right. I think it's going to be huge. Like, as much as I, you know, as much as I currently love the Netflix deal, you know, I like everything Netflix is doing right now. Mm-hmm. I like Hulu. I like Amazon Prime. I like all this stuff. But Disney presents the first real challenge in this market in a while. Like, everyone else has got these little things to do, like CBS All Access, and you can only get Star Trek if you subscribe, you know, like all that kind of thing. But this is like a big monster, biggest media company in the world doing it. It seems like everyone should pay attention to this.
Here's the thing that I think is going to be most interesting. We always talk about the market will drive prices. Mm-hmm. It will be so interesting once this Disney service launches to see if other streaming services say, hey, instead of paying $19.95 a month for Netflix, we're lowering that cost to $9.95 or $7.95, and then seeing if other streaming services follow suit, because it's going to get to the point where it's going to be too expensive for you to subscribe to everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're starting to nickel and dime us already. It's already getting weird.
The people that bring us the best offering at the lowest price is going to be the winner here. I don't think Disney is planning on launching at a $4.95 a month streaming service, but I think we're going to see some price wars happening in the streaming media service in 2019 and 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, are you personally excited? Because this is where you get all your Disney, Pixar, you know, whatever stuff, original Star Wars shows and all that.
You know, I signed up for the DC Universe stuff, which has all of the DC stuff, the movies, the TV shows, the comics and everything. I've only been there once.
Oh, maybe that bodes unfortunate.
You're not watching Titans on the regular?
I have been too busy and I haven't caught back up. Yeah. So I watched the first episode. I need to get caught back up to that. Yeah. But I was catching up to things like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about what's going on there. Brian was saying something about Satanists being all pissed. What's that, Brian?
Okay.
Satanists are really upset about the way that Satanists are represented in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, especially the a trademarked description.
No, not trademarked.
Or copyright. What's the, so there's,
it's
like,
it's
a copyright. A
so I, maybe we should put hashtag not all Satanists on this. I don't know, but
okay, good. Yes.
So
good point.
There is in the witching school that Sabrina goes to a statue of Baphomet, which is not the Church of Satan, the Satanic Temple is claiming copyright violation because it looks exactly like their statue of Baphomet that they've been taking around to different protests of the Ten Commandments in government places. And so they have sued. Now, that last week they were talking about suing Netflix and the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. This week they have gone forward and said, hey, yes, we are bringing a $50 million lawsuit against Netflix and the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina for using our copyrighted image. Now, the Church of Satan is kind of like, yeah, those guys are kind of PR hacks and they don't really speak for us. So it'll be interesting to see if this lawsuit goes through or if it's thrown out or what's going on. But if you do look at the two statues, they look remarkably similar. And I don't know, copyright is, you know, certainly applies to anything that you make or create. But to my knowledge, the Satanic Temple has not trademarked the Baphomet statue.
Well, hold on. If they, that's like saying you can trademark Jesus. And I understand. I know that, you know, it's the polar opposite basically of the Jesus thing. But if you got a statue of this goat man, Baphomet, the goat man, mm-hmm. with the two kids looking up at him, which I think is creepy as shit. But whatever. What do I know? Oh, damn it! I gotta hold on. All right. The reason I'm saying all of this is if this is just a picture of Jesus on a cross or teaching people or whatever it is, you can't go, that's a copyrighted image of Jesus.
But if you make it, Scott, it is a copyrighted image of whatever you're making.
So if I make a statue of Jesus,
it is yours.
It's mine. Now, if they make a statue of Jesus.
Now, if someone makes a statue of Jesus that looks exactly like yours, that could be a copyright violation. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. That's weird. That's like me saying I made a drawing of Steven Schleicher, and someone else made one of him too. I'm gonna
No. So, but let's say you made a copy of what you've made,
right?
And these two are so similar to one another that yes, it could be argued that the, and I'm not, and again, I'm not a lawyer here. I'm not trying to weigh in either way, but it could be argued that the creators of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the set decorators, etc., were trying to go, what the heck is a Baphomet? They looked it up. This is the first thing that came up. They could have easily thought, oh, this is the historical 2,000-year-old version of the devil, and so that's right. What we're going to do. Not realizing that this was the statue that the Satanic Temple came up with is their own original creation.
Mm. All right. Mm. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this real quick about, I don't know a Satanist. I don't know anything about them. So I say this out of, what was that? That was weird.
That was my phone.
Oh, I say this out of pure ignorance for the Church of Satan and all their stuff. And fully recognizing their right to worship whatever they want. I got no problem with it. If we're going to have freedom of religion, you get yours too. That's just the way it works. Like, I hate to tell everybody here in America, but when you have freedom of religion, it means everybody, not just you and your Christian one. It can be whatever. So I want to just clear the air on that. If you want to worship Goat Man, go for it. But here's my thing. He's not very cool. He's just a goat. He's a goat man. He looks like he's going to eat your trash. It, you know, if there was an old half-used can of beans somewhere, he's going to grab that and put a schnoz it in it and make sounds like that. Like, he's a terrible god.
I feel like Jim Brewer has as much right to sue over this as
I guess so, but he doesn't. I think goats are stupid, so I don't understand. I just want a Satanist to write in to the show. I'm sure we got to have one who listens.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to know that whichever, you know, if they belong to one of the churches. Again, the Church of Satan is kind of distancing themselves from the Satanic Temple, who is the ones bringing this lawsuit. Yeah. I'd be interested to see what those two different sides are as well. The Satanic Temple representative or whatever, when he was on Twitter talking about this, he was like, also, this is just raising up all the bad things about the Satanic Panic. And I kind of had to do a little bit more research. I know we talk about Satanic Panic and we talk about, you know, the devil is in the music when you play it backwards there, Brian. And, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is going to send you straight to the heck. And I actually did some research on the rise of the Satanic Panic in the 80s, and it still continues today. And so a couple of Fridays ago, 2 weeks ago on Finally Friday, which is the live show, I really kind of broke down the origins of the Satanic Panic. So if anybody's looking for more on that, go check out my Finally Friday episode from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, all right. I'm in. By the way, just digging around for these Satan Goat Man pictures, found some really cool sculptures and paintings of Skeletor from He-Man.
Just, oh, really?
Yeah. By the way, he'd make a way cooler Satanist.
Baphomet.
Oh, yeah, dude. Look at him. He's such a badass. All right, anyway, whatever. And I know you're going to be, you know, the Satanist, if you're just going to ride in and go, oh, really? It's okay to have like a sort of skinny looking beard guy? That's your idea of a cool mascot? And that's fine. You can come at me with this one. I want to talk about how dumb it is to have a goat as your freaking statue. I think it's dumb. Anyway. I'm going to offend two or three listeners, I think.
Exactly.
One or two, something like that. All right. So there's that going on. And also now talk of yet another Star Wars show and a new, well, we'll leave Daryl for the Trek show, but there's new stuff happening left and right. Tell me about the new Star Wars show. This is not the Mandalorian one. It's something else.
No, in fact, when they announced the Disney Plus official name, they also said that, hey, we're doing a prequel to Rogue One with that actor, Diego Luna, who played Cassian Andor in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. We're going to get his prequel story. Yeah.
You don't like that? Not into it?
I don't
it?
Know. So that's the question, right? I mean, we know that in the Star Wars prequels, the main Star Wars prequels, we know Anakin Skywalker. We know his end story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We know Andor's story in Rogue One. He dies. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen Rogue One.
Saying,
what's wrong
right,
with you?
Because if Diego Luna's... Yeah. Yeah.
If you know the character dies in Rogue One... That kind of puts you in a corner when it comes to telling interesting stories that have consequences. You know,
you never have to
that
worry
whatever
about,
happens in this
we know he's
going to
survive because he has survive. To be in Rogue One and die.
Yeah. Well, what if this is No, I don't have a good answer for this. I actually agree with you. I'm trying to be devil's advocate here. I'm sorry, Goat Man's advocate here.
We knew the story of Solo. We knew
right. Then that brings up the question: Solo, do we need to know the minutiae of every character's backstory? Or can we just accept that Boba Fett is this badass bounty hunter who just falls into the Sarlacc pit because he's does one stupid thing? Right. Do we need to know that his dad's head was cut off and he picked up the helmet and dropped his head, dad's head off and then put it on and became a bounty hunter?
Yeah,
I think everyone's just afraid to create stuff that takes place after what's going to be episode 9, because at some point somebody could buy the rights from Disney and say, all right, we're wiping the slate clean of all this other lore stuff except for these 9 movies, and everything else that people have created is outside the lore. But at least if they can do like prequels, like, well, okay, I guess we can leave that because it doesn't really affect this later story that we're trying to tell.
No one will ever buy these rights, though. It'll always be
I mean, Disney's going to own these in perpetuity.
Yeah, forever. This is theirs forever. Sure. But sure. I'm, for one, would like some original storytelling.
Well, I think we're going to get that with The Mandalorian. That is obviously not a Boba Fett story, so that could be something that's interesting that's taking place in the Star Wars universe. And you know what? I'm kind of totally down with things that take place in the Star Wars universe, providing we've got some new original characters in this. And, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I probably would have been like, heck yeah, give me a Boba Fett movie. Heck yeah, give me that Obi-Wan movie that tells us what he's doing when he's hanging out in the cave on Tatooine. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Now, maybe not so much.
Yeah. I mean,
but if they create this and make it interesting and develop a great set of characters around Andor, then like I'm in.
Yeah, I also have a feeling this has to do with some of our bias toward how well it's gone for Star Wars or how not well it's gone for Star Wars so far to tell these prequel stories, not just the prequels themselves, the more infamous ones, but some of this other stuff has fallen a little flat for a lot of viewers, and I wonder. Why
how
I feel that
dare
way about
you, Scott Johnson.
Well, hold on now.
Star Wars is perfect, and there's nothing wrong with. How dare you?
Oh
Scott
gosh,
Johnson.
I didn't realize I was gonna. It was gonna happen in real time here, but yes, people do react this way to Star Wars. But here's what I was gonna say. I'm less excited about what they do with prequel content in the Star Wars universe. But when I heard they were gonna do Game of Thrones prequel content, I got stoked. Well, what's the difference? I'm gonna know the end game there too. I just trust them more, maybe, or they've delivered, or they have yet to fail in the prequel area. Like, maybe that's it. And Star Wars has been fishy and too careful, in my opinion. I don't think Star Wars has failed. I think they've just been too careful and cautious. It's like, well, we got to have Jedis and got to have lightsabers and better have some kind of weird alien guy and got to have a robot that's funny. Like, they just feel like they have to template everything Star Wars, and I wish they wouldn't. I wish they would get brave and take it a little further, some other direction, new directions. You know, stay in the universe, but you don't have to have that same template every time.
It doesn't have to be right. Stay in the universe, but we can look at some new characters. Bottom line, though, for me, they're doing what I wish CBS All Access would have done, is have a few more bullets in the chamber before they launched, and have a few more things to make me want to stay with the service, because hey, Discovery is great, but I'm not giving CBS any money currently. Disney, if they have constant content with Star Wars stuff and Marvel stuff, like they're talking about the Loki and the Scarlet Witch series, and I think there was another one that they just announced, Winter Soldier and Falcon, right? A little buddy cop show.
I'm down for that.
I am all on board. Exactly,
just hope there's no snapping of fingers anywhere in that show.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm glad Disney is thinking about this stuff and saying, "Hey, we're about to launch a service, but look at all this stuff we're going to put on it." Even DC wasn't able to do that. They said, "All right, here's Titans. Also, we're going to move all that stuff you've already probably seen and some of our comic library over here as well, but give me something enticing that's like, all right, I want a lot of new content to look forward to. I'll sign up today."
Well, and I guess the only thing that I would say, you know, counter to that, Brian, is that when DC launched, they launched with that Titans series so that people could latch onto it and it wouldn't get lost in the noise of everything else that's going on. And then very soon we're going to start see them launching all the other original content. We know that the Mandalorian show is going to launch with Disney Plus, and I guarantee you that's going to be enough to draw in both the lovers of Star Wars and the haters of Star Wars, just so somebody has something to complain about and somebody has something to gush on. So I think we're going to see Disney kind of crank up original content on that service a lot faster than what DC is doing.
I'll tell you what's exciting to me about the Diego Luna deal is I like him a lot as an actor. He's very compelling to me. Pretty much everything I ever saw him in, I thought was great. Even some really old Spanish language movies I saw ages ago that I can't remember the name of. but I just think he's really cool, and it has a great
también,
yeah, probably. That's a great movie. He's got just a really great screen presence, and he's fascinating to me. So on that level alone, I'll give this a shot. I'm just saying they haven't exactly, you know, proven that they're willing to take these things in new directions. And The Mandalorian may be their first shot at doing that, and they may pull that off. But the minute they're like, remember this? It's kind of like a trash compactor. Like, I hate that. No more fan service. Just make a good movie. Make a good TV show. That's what I want. All right.
I think there should just be a new Star Wars show called Tashi Station.
Yeah. Let's go. You got to get... call it Power Converters, the Tashi Station story. Yeah.
Power Converters, get your Power Converters. Hey, want to buy some Power Converters? All right.
The
next episode of Tashi Station.
The entire thing should be about getting to Tashi Station, number one. B, getting said Power Converters. And C, getting back in time for Aunt Veru Blue Milk. All of that in your TV show, and I'm in. Okay. Finally, Ewan McGregor is Black Mask. How do you feel about that?
That's the rumor, sure. I'm kind of interested in this. Of people who don't know who Black Mask is, he's kind of a hardcore reworking of an old character over at DC Comics in the Batman universe. Birds of Prey, the movie that is in pre-production right now, has said that Black Mask is going to be probably the main villain for the movie, and one Ewan McGregor will be playing this super evil villain who... Again, depending on which version of the character they go with, if you've seen the Silver Age Black Mask, it's just a guy who puts a black mask on his face. But I think it was during the, what was the Satan storyline in the 90s where they were using that special green ink. I forget what it is now. But at one point, I'm pretty sure that Black Mask was wearing his black mask. He had a horrible fire that burned his face and melted the mask onto it. That guy is a little bit more hardcore and intense. And that's probably the way they're going to go with this Ewan character. So
I'm fine with Ewan McGregor getting in there. Yeah, sounds good to me. If you search for Black Mask on Google, you get nothing but beauty products that are masks that are black.
Oh, yeah, that new charcoal.
I was afraid you were going to get a bunch of sadomasochism stuff in your Google search.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good point. I didn't see any of that unless people are into... nighttime facial masks, but but anyway, Ewan McGregor quite literally blew my mind in the last season of Fargo, so I like to see him do new things. I think it's great. He was so good in that. Oh my gosh, what's going on with that show? Gosh dang it, Fargo.
Yeah, exactly.
You holdouts, you bastards. You sitting around going, season four is what you want, do you? Like, what are they doing? Get that out here. Get that make that a thing. You can't just make three and then leave me on the lurch like this. Oh man, I'm complaining today. Hey, Steven, anything on the site people should know about before we cut you loose today?
There's a lot of cool stuff over at majorspoilers.com. Take care, guys. I'll see you later.
Yeah. Oh, stay hydrated, by the way. I hung up too quick before I could say.
Wow.
How did he forget? That's his thing.
I know. That's his closing. His we really screwed him up with that whole not all the Satanists.
Yeah, thing. Not all Satanists. Can't wait to hear the goat emails. Send them in. I like goat men in Diablo. They're great. You kill them and they go, when you kill them. They're fantastic.
I like Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer's cool. Daryl's also all right. Daryl Skeel's on the phone. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I've got a weird echo of the show.
You're probably listening to it on something.
How weird. It's playing two apps at once.
Oh, that is weird. Mm. You don't want that.
Two apps.
Didn't even know it could do that.
Beep, 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 boop, boop, boop. Let's really mess with them. All right, well, here's your thing.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
A little bit. It's a little fruity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daryl Skeels is here talking about Star Trek. There's actually news in the world of Star Trek because turns out everybody really likes Michelle Yeoh's character in the first chunk of... Well, I guess she's... All right, I'm a little confused about this, and you're going to have to clear this up. Is this her clone we're getting a series of, or is it her we're getting the original version of her? Like, what are we getting there?
I think, well, I would guess that it's going to be the evil version, the mirror version.
It's mirror universe.
Not
it's
clone, not... sorry. I meant mirror version. So you think it'll be her.
Or she's got a goatee.
She's got a goatee and she's packing heat. That's the difference between those two things. But okay. But that doesn't seem like I can get behind her as much. That seemed, she had a very heroic mirror character in the other world, but I also am kind of sick of prequels. So maybe I do want the evil one? I don't know.
Well, it's still a prequel, though, because she's in this universe.
Well, what I mean is a prequel to her character. Like, I know that's kind of right. That's kind of meta, but do you suppose, Daryl, or do you fear, or do you embrace the idea that maybe it's a darker take in the Star Trek universe there?
I don't even have a clue what to expect. It could be very positive.
She's awesome. Like, I'm all up in her being on.
Yeah.
That sounded terrible.
Maybe she's out to be dark and everybody's trying to get her to be normal.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, she did do some things that were very selfishly motivated, but she did some stuff that in her run in the first season of freaking Discovery.
Discovery. Yeah.
Where she kind of, you know, sort of doing things that are maybe better than she would do, but it was also self-serving and that sort of thing. So maybe that's what we're going to get. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that idea. I don't know how to feel about it. I like Michelle Yeoh enough that I'm willing to see, because she's great. Yeah. She's freaking great.
And that show's coming back in January. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. 17th, and the short treks been released, or are we still waiting on some?
Oh, there's more. Treks? And there was just one out last week.
Oh, how was it?
Well, some people liked it, and I didn't really care about it.
What's it? Tell me the. You don't have to spoil anything, but what's it about?
Was it Mudd's short trek?
No, it was the 1,000 year somebody from, or the Discovery is 1,000 years in the future, and some guy shows up, and stuff happens.
Oh, is it Q?
No.
Okay. Is it? I just want to guess here for a second.
It's not important who it is.
It's not like an old Scotty. They found Scotty's pattern in yet another teleporter, and they talked to him for a while. It's not that.
No, not that.
All right. Is it?
It's very uneventful. I think the whole thing.
did Chris Pine show up? No, Chris Pine.
No.
All right. I kind of want to see his Outlaw King movie that's on Netflix.
The ship's
right
computer does show up though.
Oh, the ship's computer does. Okay. Wait, Majel Barrett from the grave?
No, no, no.
Okay. All right, so wait. 1,000 years in the future, what happened there?
Well, yeah, we don't know, actually. Well, wait, I don't want to spoil stuff.
So you kind of know?
No spoilers.
It's a 15-minute episode, so if you talk about it for more than that many seconds, it kind of gives it away.
So
it should not get talked about for longer than the actual episode itself. Yes, I agree.
Please tell me that it's just the Enterprise flying around the sun really fast, like a whole bunch of times, and that's what puts them there.
The sun to spin in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that way. Yeah, so they can save Lois from lava, hot sun lava.
I suppose it could be. They never really say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to feel about it, because that's a weird thing I hadn't heard. I mean, the show's not going to be them 1,000 years ahead, right? Oh, now you're going to have to give away something else about the short, aren't you?
No, it's not the show. It's just this one short.
Okay.
And we find out at one point, 1,000 years from now, or whatever, that the Discovery is still around, and something happens, but it's not. I don't think it's connected to anything else.
Does everybody have old weird beards and stuff in it?
Why do you keep asking questions that we don't want to hear the answer to?
I don't
to?
Know. I want to know about beards and facial hair, and if they're old people in there. You know, like,
well,
do they look?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That. How caught up are you on The Walking Dead, coincidentally?
Not at all. I'm like 2 seasons behind that show.
All right. Weird old beards and weird old hair.
Really? Yeah. Okay, because Andrew Lincoln had to take a dump, right? He's out. We know
he had
that.
To take a dump, right? For 7 years, he's been holding off.
Well, let that be a lesson to you, kids.
That's right.
I know there's zombies around, but poo when you need to, okay?
The thing about these shorts is that
they're tight.
The actors are all gone.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, really? Oh, interesting.
The actors are gone because it's between seasons, so they just bring a few people back to do this.
Except Tilly. Yeah, Tilly's... I see what you're saying. Right. Just bring a handful of people.
Sure.
Just enough to tell that story. And then it's like, well, why isn't she going to the bridge and seeing everybody that's on the bridge, for example?
I remember when they did this on BSG. Do you remember those shorts they did? And it would always be just like one or two people. Mm-hmm. Like B-Cast would be there.
Yeah, that's right. It was like between webisodes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, all right. How many more are there, Daryl, after this?
There's, I think, 2 more.
Whoa, the way
Let's
you said
see,
that.
November, December. No, maybe there's just one more.
Did you hear what I said?
You could tell if it was a Skype slowdown or a purposeful suspense.
There are 2 more.
Two more.
all right, before we're about done, because that's all that really happened. Oh, there's a new Golden Book on the way. Too Many Tribbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that. It's a that looks awesome. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, real quick. Daryl, do you think a goat man is a stupid thing to worship? How do you feel about a goat man as your religious symbol?
I think a goat ate somebody's Bible a long time ago, and so they hold a grudge, and it's still being held.
Oh,
today.
I love that theory. Wow. That's a great theory, because yeah. Why else? Is it just the horns that they did it? You know, like some old farmer went, the devil's in the yard. How do you know? He's got horns like the devil. Like,
yeah, but cows have horns.
That's true, but they're
a little boy Blue. He has horns.
But cows are dumb, and sometimes goats sound like people, and that's probably it must be the devil because he's yelling like a person.
Listen to him in that Taylor Swift song.
Yeah. Wait, which one? Oh, yeah.
Trouble. The one that people added the goat sound to.
Still one of the best things ever.
Yes.
All right. Daryl Skeels, everybody. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, where he talks about Star Trek incessantly with Michael Gaines, and they have a great time doing it. I suppose. I don't know, unless you guys
know. Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Daryl Skeels, bye. All right. He's out. All right. I'm going to play a mashup if it exists. I actually haven't checked the folder. I don't know if it's in there.
Oh, I shouldn't say yay until I know if it exists.
I should have checked before the show, and I forgot. Mashups. Here we go. Jamie. Oh, yes. And I got a lot of backlog stuff. So this whole week, you're going to get little pieces here and there, everybody. I can promise you that. All right. So this is episodes 1590 through 1593. Great year. And this is called Man with No Pants. Brian, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Pants.
Okay, sure.
Okay, good. I think your boob farted.
Boob fart.
You don't want to know that she farts.
Brian, you need hot toddy for your throat.
You need for throat? Put it in your bum.
Oh, I'm a big player of StarCraft. I'm going to teach you how to play. Oi. I've actually got two computers set up so I can play co-op.
Love it.
I got to have the meat.
I want bacon. I want
to put a USB stick in his pee hole.
Born in the laboratory in Innsbruck.
Milli Vanilli syndrome.
Flavor of coffee made is Machiavelli.
I can't say that word. Help me.
Machiavellian.
Is it just Machiavellian?
Machiavellian, yeah.
Who can steal an idea? Saying the name three times.
The Candyman can. Shoots bees out of his mouth.
A diabetic on his way to the store. Ran out of insulin and was going to buy some more.
Colostomy bag leaking.
Steaming camel jockey poop. Oh, yeah. Like there's sex going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I'm 14. See? Yeah.
Yeah,
I like boobs.
I hate it so much.
I've been through the desert on a man with no pants. It felt good to get out of my pants.
In the desert, you don't need no pants.
No pants, cause there ain't no rain for to give you no pants.
That's amazing. All right, now I get the no pants reference. Nice. Good job, Jamie.
Man with no pants.
I have so many mashups to get through because I just got behind. So there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Well, we have a couple of on this date or on this month that are for patrons only. So we got to make sure to earmark those.
Oh, right. I need to. Patrons. He's probably sent me an email and I don't even.
He has. Yeah.
My inbox is a nightmare.
I'm sure it is.
That's still not really caught up from the trip. That's really sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now I feel a cold coming and I'm not in the mood to look at my inbox at all.
Well, you can lay on the couch, recuperate, drink some soup, or eat some soup, drink some hot tea, and clean your inbox.
Yeah.
nothing will make you feel better than that combination right there.
Yeah, well, it does feel good once you're done, I guess, so maybe I'll do that today. I'm just grouchy today, you guys. I'm grouchy. Yeah. I'm grouchy about your Satan donkey horse goat thing. Sorry, goat. I'm grumpy about the defensive words. I'm grumpy about everything.
Not being able to use in a long time to see anymore.
Yeah. What am I going to do next time I see somebody? I'm going to see my Korean brother and go, hey, Matt, it's been a while since I've seen you last. I hope that wasn't offensive. Anyway, that's it. We're done. And a reminder, if you'd like the show and you would like to contribute to its ability to survive and thrive, you may want to head on over to frogpants.com. patreon.com/TMS because there's a link to it there, and that's the easiest way to get to it. Now, if you're like, well, I'd rather go straight there, Scott, well, that's okay too. patreon.com/TMS is where you'll actually go. And it's a great way to support the show. Many of you have. Our thanks, as always, to them. I'm putting new artwork together today for the this month. For those who are at the appropriate levels, if you're like, whoa, that sounds interesting, can I check out more? Absolutely. Patreon.com/TMS. And I have good news. The response to the Skim show was kind of off the charts. I didn't expect it. I thought it would be kind of okay, but we blasted. It's almost the best. It may actually be the best numbers for a debuting thing that we've ever done.
Wow.
So that is crazy, and that means it's absolutely a thing now. So Thursday nights is when we do it, 5 to 6 p.m. It's not really nights, afternoon. 5 to 6 p.m. Mountain Time every Thursday. That's the Skim Show. Scott and Kim right here, frogpants.tv. We do it live. We also put it on a podcast, and I should have approval from iTunes, Google Play, and everybody today. That's supposed to happen today, so you should be able to subscribe directly to that feed. I'm sure that'll all be done by Thursday, but in some weird case that it's not, I'll still make sure it's available on the Mega feed and maybe on the TMS feed just to make things easy. Okay.
Cool.
Brian, you have anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, nothing else. You know, stay tuned for more details. I can't believe Thanksgiving is in like a week and a half, so stay tuned for details about the cover-thon that goes on the Black Friday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how you can help, how you can be part of it. I think I might allow people to send in sets of music.
I like that.
With a donation. So
that's crazy. Is that really next week? It's next week.
It is a week from Thursday or a week from Friday. Can you believe that?
How is that even a thing?
I know. Why we should not allow Thanksgiving to take place earlier than the 25th.
Nope.
Like this 22nd business just doesn't work. No.
I'm not into it. Not into it. I want whatever. There's so much to do. But hey, we'll be back tomorrow with a regular show, so be here. Enjoy that. Brian, let's leave them with a tune. Do you got something there?
Yes, sir, I do. Espy wrote in and said, hey, the song has no special meaning to me, but I really like this version of it. Shout out to my wife, Sarah. You're my rock. Signed, Espy. Love the snow globe. Thank you, Espy. Great suggestion. This is one I hadn't heard before. It's a cover of the song originally by Adele. It is Hello, and it's performed by a band called Fame on Fire. This is great. It rocks. It cranks it up a notch for sure. Mm. Fame on Fire with our cover of Adele's Hello.
See you guys tomorrow.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say that time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a typical of me to talk about myself.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
The older a man grows, the more likely he'll face a flaccid penis.